Our Old Testament lesson this morning is Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat, for like the days of a tree shall be the days of my people, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. The gospel lesson this morning is Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 through 19. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to one another, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn." For John came neither eating or drinking, and they said, "He has a demon." The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, "Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds.
Hello. I really wish this wasn't the way I had to come to you today, but the way I feel, and as in my stomach, as weak as my knees are feeling, I felt this was best way to give you my sermon today without you worrying about when I was going to fall or have to run to the bathroom. So forgive me, but let's move into our sermon. Today's gospel reading about piping and not dancing and playing and not joining in shows one reason Jesus loved children. He's referring to the fact that children would often love to go out in the streets. If you played wedding, you got to make music and dance and just enjoy yourselves and get in the way of the other crowd. The second part refers to playing funeral. Funerals back then had people walking through the streets. So the kids would walk through the streets, parade. They'd throw dirt upon themselves, pretending they were in a funeral. I think what Jesus was mentioning here, in addition to the fact that nobody was joining him, is that he liked a child's ability to bring an imagination and another reality into the ordinary play, so that instead of just playing at these things, they were somehow participating in these things. It's what Jesus wanted of those who were listening to him. Not just to listen, but to kind of capture the image of what God could do, would do, and is doing through Jesus, bringing about signs of the kingdom. If you read what Jesus teaches, then it becomes pretty clear that he doesn't want people just to sit back and play around or not follow, not get enthusiastic about the vision of life that he was bringing to people. Jesus wanted people to use their imaginations to bring the reality of some of the signs of the kingdom into life now. And it was something he was passionate about. He always had a few words for people who weren't joining the march, joining the play, joining the activities. As a matter of fact, I think one quote from Dallas Willard that sums it up well is that the gospel is less about how to get into the kingdom of heaven after you die and more about how to live in the kingdom of heaven before you die. In other words, we can join in these activities without any problem now. We are to bring signs of the kingdom. Now, as kids, our dreams often don't last. For instance, I wanted to be a scuba diver for a career. But as time moved on, so did my dreams. And as I looked around me, as I listened to the words of Jesus and saw what Christians were doing, my dreams became working to end racial injustice, stopping warfare, violence, ending world hunger, growing in closeness to Jesus and what he wanted me to do. And fortunately, we can find larger meaning in life by following our dreams to be tied to larger dreams. For instance, as part of the ensemble of the faithful, we tie our dreams to God's dreams and his creation. I find that my dreams get enlarged as I consciously follow Jesus closely and get involved in God's dreams. As part of the ensemble of the faithful, I am part of something bigger than myself, and all I need to do is listen to Jesus, follow his example, listen to the prophets whose poetry stirred the imagination about what was yet to come for people. Isaiah says in chapter 65:20, "Never again will there be an infant who lives but a few days in God's kingdom." God wants infant mortality not to exist. And when we discuss issues like prenatal care, health insurance, preventing child abuse, these are all kingdom issues. When we work on these things, we bring into the sights of the kingdom, we are brought into the sights of the kingdom dreams. Isaiah then says, "Never again will there be an old man who does not live the years." In God's kingdom, senior adults live long and productive lives. Discussions of Social Security, Medicare, good nursing care, respite care, these are all tied to the kingdom and its dreams. And when we work on these things, we bring into life signs of God's kingdom dreams. Isaiah adds, "They will build houses and dwell in them." In God's kingdom, people will live in decent housing. Issues like dealing with homelessness and affordable housing are kingdom issues. When we work on these things, we bring into life signs of the kingdom dreams. Isaiah continues, "They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit." In God's kingdom, food is plentiful. Healthy, accessible, and affordable food is a kingdom issue. When we work on these things, we bring into life signs of the kingdom dreams. Going on, we hear, "They will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not toil in vain." In God's kingdom, people are fairly compensated for their work. Issues like minimum and fair wages and employee benefits are kingdom issues. When we work on these things, we will bring into life signs of the kingdom dreams. Then Isaiah says, they will not bear children doomed to misfortune. In God's kingdom, children thrive. Child nutrition and early childhood education are kingdom issues. When we work on these things, we bring into life signs of the kingdom dreams. Finally, Isaiah dreams of the day when the wolf and the lamb shall lie together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. They will neither harm nor destroy in all my kingdom. In God's kingdom, violence and warfare are contraband. Peacemaking between individuals, communities, and nations is a kingdom issue. When we work on these things, we bring into life signs of the kingdom dreams. In our own personal lives and in the broader social world, may we let God's kingdom dream enlarge our dreams and invigorate our dreaming. May we fit our places into the larger ensemble. Like other activities, people join in together. People, participants, enlarge their skills on the one hand and are guided on fitting skills in to the world of embracing God's kingdom and showing it forth. As for that dream of being a skin diver, well, I never was that. But as we looked at the second wing of a church faith aircraft, that of social action in addition to last week's personal relationship, let all people here say amen. Let all God's people say amen. Let all living creatures say amen. Let all the earth and the sky say amen. Let all the ancients say, let all the creation say, let all that we are and is and say to be, amen.